my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, friends. This is, I think it's episode 184, but honestly, I don't know off the top of my head. And I say off the top of my head because we are in the car, in the truck, driving back from Pinckneyville Community High School. I really honestly can't put it into words how I'm feeling right now because I have that wrestling buzz going on, and I'm with my buddy Tom Harness. Tom, welcome back to my 1-2-3 cents.
Well, thanks for having me and taking me to the event tonight. It was absolutely amazing. You were amazing.
Well, thank you, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but what Tom is referring to, it was Stride Goes Steel in the Ville. This was a fundraiser event at Pinckneyville High School. If you've been listening to any of the episodes in the past month or so, you know that I was getting back into the ring, and we'll talk about the match in just a little bit, but because I was wrestling and not ring announcing, usually when I do a show the next week, I do a podcast on a wrap-up of the show. Well, I'm not going to be able to provide that analysis because I did not get to watch the show like I usually do. I was actually in the locker room. Shannon Young from Podzilla 1985, a friend of the show and a friend of mine. I'm proud that he came over and did an amazing job. Shannon, I know you're listening. Hats off to you. You really did a great job. I know you might have been nervous or, you know, we talked a little bit and beforehand. You did great. And the only thing I didn't like was when you said it was going to be my last appearance. But I get it. You know, I was in there against a monster, but
And you know, the crowd was not really with him, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if he took it personal, because I think he told me he is actually from Illinois. Obviously, he works and lives in Missouri. Yeah. They love him in Missouri. He came in here. The crowd was very hostile to him, and I didn't get a chance to tell you this, Shannon, but I really don't think it was you. I just think that people wanted you to be announcing, so I think that it was just not him. It was they wanted you.
It legitimately was a humbling experience, this whole ride. And when I looked out at one point and I saw some old friends that I grew up with, parental type figures, my own parents were there, I knew they were going to obviously be there, but seeing these folks there, Marge and Bob Mathis, I'll throw them a shout out. I've known them since I was probably about 8 years old, and to see them there, they brought their granddaughter. My wife was there. Your wife was there. Your daughter was there. I am humbled by Greg Mahochko, the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Co-worker, Danny Valle. I can't sit here and name everybody that was there, but it was humbling because I know some of these people, my parents specifically, my dad, but my mom, not so much a wrestling fan, but for them to come out and support this cause, not only support me, but support Stride and support Pinckneyville High School, which was raising money to buy football helmets to prevent concussions and stuff. It just meant the world to me. And I talked about that wrestling buzz before, and I'm feeling it. It's because there's something about that live crowd, and you experienced it as well. But what was your overall perception of the show? Because this is the first time you've seen cage matches before, and every match was contested inside the steel cage.
Yeah, it was one. I've seen some of these on TV, but it is so interesting to see them live, like in person. And am I allowed to be completely honest on my analysis of the show?
Absolutely.
Okay. I felt like early on every match got better. The first match was really rough. I thought it was, there were some missed opportunities. And this is one question I had for you. So when you have some of these matches and you have these seats so close, you kind of sometimes see more than what you really need to see. Is there something, is there like a space limit that needs to be from the ring to the where the seats are? Because I was, it was kind of not as exciting, but the next match got better. And the next, and I'm telling you, the way that it was set up was just a build-up and a build-up. But the first match was, honestly, it was kind of a dud for me, man.
Really? Okay. Well, you know, no, there's not a distance, per se.
But do you understand what I'm talking about?
No, I do. I do. And it's still a learning process. There's a lot of guys that are still kind of developing
and getting
better. And the only way to do that is to get out there in front of that live crowd and do this. And I will do a shout-out because I did watch that first match from a distance. You know, Riser climbing to the top of that cage. That cage was 12 feet off the ground, and he did a Swanton bomb. And that kid, I will call him a kid because I am old enough. My oldest son is a year younger than Riser. I'm sorry. I call him a kid. He's amazing, and he is naturally gifted, and he is definitely has nowhere else to go but up. I mean, he is an amazing talent, and, you know, it comes with time. Some of these guys, it's more of a natural thing, but others, it will take time, and they will develop, and they will get there. But I think you're right when you say that things, and I'm not saying it because I was the last match, but things progressively got better throughout the course of the night, and these guys train so hard and for so long. I think there's a misperception or a misconception from people who maybe aren't wrestling fans per se. I think the true fans get it, but there are those who watch from the sidelines, so to speak, who think, oh, you know, they're just going in there and acting and pretending to kick each other and hit each other and whatnot.
Are we allowed to swear on your podcast?
Absolutely.
Well, I think they need to get their asses in the ring because that's, when you are up there, yeah, there's certain sounds that are just sounds, right? I get that.
Sure.
But the falls, the blows, yeah, they know how to fall, but it's still, you're taking a beating. I mean, those guys are taking a beating. When they fall and they're taking some of those hits, it's legit, and I always encourage someone, before you even complain or start saying that it's fake, get in the ring, and if you think it's still fake, then you've earned every right to say it is.
Right.
But if you get in there and you practice and you do that, then you tell me that, because I'm going to tell you straight up, especially after tonight, it's legit.
It is legit. By the way, Tony Flood, once again, Stride Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion. I didn't get to see the match, but I understand that the lead pipe played a factor in this one as well.
Yes, it did. Man, why do they have to give it to a Canadian, man? Seriously, why do they have to give it to a Canadian? Oh, my gosh. But did you hear them chanting USA?
Yes, I did hear the USA chant.
Yeah, do you know who started that?
I would guess it would be you.
No, it was not.
Really?
It was Greg.
No kidding.
Greg was the clapper starter and the USA one. He
nice.
Was amazing, man.
That is awesome.
So shout out to Greg.
Yeah, you and Greg actually sat side by side and watched the show tonight. So.
Yes.
Other hits from the show, Heath Hatton and Axe Allred retaining the Stride Pro Wrestling Tag Team titles against the Midwest Monster Hunters. And I want to kind of pick your brain a little bit about, because for those who don't know, and if you don't, you probably have been under a rock, Tom is the owner of Harness Digital Marketing. He does social media and digital marketing as his livelihood. And there's something I think about Bo Sawyer specifically when it comes to the marketing and branding of oneself in indie wrestling. And I think out of everyone, at least on the Stride roster, he probably has the best swing at it, don't you think?
I'm going to tell you straight up, as a grade and as a former teacher, I give Bo,
Bo Sawyer.
I'm trying to make sure that I gave his right
his get his real name. Yeah.
Yeah. I give Bo an A+, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him an A because there's always room to grow.
Sure.
He is great with engaging and interacting. He uses Snapchat. I highly suggest you reach out and try to follow him. But he does a great job. And you know what? I don't know if I should do this or not.
Go ahead.
I got to give a shout out. You know who else is really good, especially on Twitter, and he does a pretty good job?
Who's that?
Mathis.
Eh.
I'm sorry, man, but I'm trying to be unbiased here.
No, it's fine.
And, you know, even though I have this hate relationship because he tried to, you know, kill my buddy, I just got to tell you, I think he does it pretty good on representing himself and on social. But Bo, you need to follow him. He's creative. He's got these great storylines, and he's just fun. And I think this is a really good avenue for him to be in wrestling.
So when it comes to specifically the wrestling industry, because I think a lot of times when people have social media and they're trying to sell themselves, they maybe sometimes are also trying to sell a product.
Right.
Whether it be shirts or, and you know, all these guys do, not all of them, but many of them have merchandise. But sometimes it gets tiresome when all you see, and I'm not specifically talking about anybody in Stride per se, but when all the posts are just revolving around the tchotchkes that they sell and not just having fun. And I think that Bo, as we mentioned, Bo and his tag team partner Jason Tiller too, they have that YouTube channel and they're having fun with it, and
that makes sense,
and it fits in with their characters.
You just put yourself out there. If you've got products, you wear it. Let people know. Have fun with it. Honestly, I think about 10% of what you put out there should be for selling, because people are going to find it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wore my bloody suit tonight.
Right.
You know, and I had two people come up and were like, hey, where do we get a suit? You know, and that's the key, is that with branding, is it's got to be part of your livelihood, your mantra, what you want about who you are. And you got to be consistent with that. You just can't, well, that didn't work, so I'm going to try something else. So now I'll sell these kind of shirts. No, you just stick with what you got. Their shirts were for sale. They're awesome. I think you bought one.
I did buy one, yes.
That's absolutely pretty cool.
And let's do a shout out, because you, as you mentioned, you wore the bloody suit from Shinesty, and you are an affiliate partner now with Shinesty. So people can go to your Twitter and learn more about you at iTomHarness and get that Shinesty code, because you turned me on to Shinesty, and I've been buying, and I actually have a new suit coming soon, hopefully.
I can't wait.
And I can't wait to unveil it and wear it to an upcoming Stride show. But it's important to build that brand, yes?
Absolutely. And you know what? I do think in the indie industry, from what I've seen, it is a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I think that they need to work or talk or find some way to brand themselves, be consistent with it, build an audience. Because I think, from what I understand now about how this works and being with you and learning more about Stride Pro, is if you're marketable, you're going to have these other indie groups coming out to you and saying, listen, we want you. And when you have value, you can say, hey, I've got this number of people on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think it holds value. And if you have value, to me, that means you're worth more. And if you're worth more, you can probably make more.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of that branding kind of goes into the match, too, that I want to talk about. And that is Aaron Brooks, Chris Hargis, Daniel Eads, Scott Phoenix, Cash Borden. It was a fatal five-way, for lack of a better word, to determine the number one contender to the Legacy title. And Aaron Brooks specifically stood out to me in this match because he painted himself up like Deadpool.
Yeah.
Came
out with the music from Deadpool.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, you loved it. So, I mean, obviously, he probably, of the five guys in there, and I mean, Chris Hargis is a huge dude. Daniel Eads is a big guy. He's done some stuff with WWE and will continue to grow and develop. But, you know, as we mentioned, Brooks kind of has that look of with the paint and the music and whatnot. So I guess it attracts attention. He wasn't the biggest dog in the fight, but he certainly got the job done in there and put out that perception.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with that, and I don't know how this works completely in wrestling, but you have to be consistent with something to make it. If this is just like a one-and-done thing, mm-hmm. I think it loses value.
Okay.
I think that if he really wants to do this, it needs to be something. And obviously, he's capitalizing on the movie coming out.
Sure.
Deadpool 2. I think you write it for a little bit, you know? I think it needs to be a storyline. If it was me, that needs to be its own kind of story. And again, I'm not a WWE. I look at this completely from a marketing and a branding standpoint. But if it's a one and done, I think it's a lost opportunity for him. I hope that he continues it, evolves it a little bit. Obviously, Deadpool 2 is going to be going for at least 3 to 6 months, so mm-hmm. I'm guessing that they can milk this for a little bit more.
Sure.
And then you go on to whatever else he likes or wants to do. But it's definitely, it was cool. I, I, I liked it. And I think it needs to be, you know, tweak it a little bit. But yeah. Yeah.
And we mentioned the Monster Hunters and Hatton and Allworth. You know, Heath and Axe were able to retain the tag team titles. I did watch a little bit of that one through the curtain.
Bo got his.
I'm a Heath Hatton fanboy. Yes. Bo got his egg scrambled, as they say. So, yeah,
and we saw a full moon.
Did you? I missed that.
You didn't hear that, did you?
No.
Oh, yeah. His wrestling shorts got pulled down a little bit. We saw a full moon in my direction.
Oh, okay.
So we saw some, they're going to have to, since it's a full moon, there's werewolves out. They're going to have some monster hunting to do themselves.
They'll have some monsters to hunt for sure. And we also mentioned Tony Flood and Jay Spade. Now, I understand that Tony hit a moonsault off the top of the cage. Did you see
Holy
this?
Holy cow. When I talked about the wrestling, each one, like, building.
Yeah.
I kept, Greg and I specifically, we were just like, oh my God, did they just do that?
Yeah.
It just kept building. And, like, I don't know if they were, like, each person from the previous match was trying to outdo each other.
Yeah.
But I'm not lying, man. It was insane, some of the stuff we saw. It was crazy.
I didn't see it. I heard, I could hear it. And, yeah, I knew, you know, Tony had mentioned that he was going to try to do something spectacular, and obviously he came through, and, you know, the chicanery of the lead pipe, of course, leading him back to that Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Next match, right before the last match, was Tony Wilson, who is the incoming principal at Pinckneyville High School, and the Stone Cold Plumster, Josh Plumley. They teamed up against the DR Party. And, you know, with these fundraiser shows, we like to involve someone from the event. And this was a great way. And I will tell you this, and this kind of goes back to when people dismiss or discredit or discount wrestling. Tony Wilson has never wrestled before, but he was out there at the Stride School busting his ass, learning and figuring things out and getting in there and preparing, and he looked like $1 million out there.
You could not tell that he had not. Yeah, I'm telling you straight up.
He's a stud, and it was, you know, and Plumley too. Plumley has been in there a few more times, but both of these guys have the heart and the desire to do this. It's not just one of those things where they show up the night of the match and think, okay, I'm going to go over and I'm going to win here, and this is, you know, I'm a diva about it all. They get in there and legitimately do their thing, paying, you know, quote-unquote, paying their dues to build up to this event. And, you know, it's great to incorporate those guys because they bring in fans, too. You know, there were students from Murfreesboro High School where Tony is currently the administrator, and then there are, of course, students at Pinckneyville High School, where we were tonight, who will be a part of it. The Panther was there. That's the mascot in Pinckneyville. And I watched bits and pieces of that match through the curtain because, like I mentioned, I was preparing for my match. But it was great to see them get out there and kind of do their thing, too.
Tony actually caught a corner of the cage, scratched his leg, got a little cut, and he was pretty bloody. I honestly think that I might have some of his blood on my suit, which we'll allude to later. But, you know, I will tell you, you don't want to mess with this guy as a principal because he's a badass.
Yeah. He is a badass, and I appreciate the effort that those guys put into it and the dedication for this cause. Because this is probably, for some of these guys, it's a one and done, and they will support, but they may not necessarily be getting in there on a weekly or monthly basis, as Stride typically does.
And holy cow, at the very end, I saw something that I've never seen before. Of course, I don't have that many cage matches that I've gone to. Dexter.
Oh, yes.
Upside down, tied with his tie. His feet were through the cage. He was on the other side, dangling upside down, only having his tie around his feet. Oh, my gosh, that was insane.
I did see that, too. That was great. That was a great way to kind of wrap up that match. Of course, Tony Wilson and Josh Plumley were able to escape the cage, and they won. Or no, I'm sorry, they didn't escape. They did a doomsday device on Brian Richards from the DR Party and got the pin there. I did see the tail end of that match, as I mentioned. And so that kind of leads us into, and I'm still, I'm going to kind of go kayfabe and off kayfabe here. I am completely and utterly, and I can't believe I'm feeling like I'm going to get emotional with this. I can't thank Heath Hatton enough for this opportunity, because not only did I get to wrestle again, and I'm not a wrestler. I have no desire to be a full-time wrestler. I love getting in there and doing things like this, especially when it's for a good cause. He and I talked a long time ago about doing something, and we were waiting for the right opportunity, and the right opportunity presented itself. And when he texted me earlier in the week and said that we were going to be last, we were going on as the main event, I was speechless because I was not expecting it. I was humbled by it. I am still humbled by it.
So this is a big deal, right, in a wrestling, to have that last, the main event.
Yes, it really is. And, you know, as a non-wrestler, and I get that, you know, part of the draw and the appeal is the fact that I am a news anchor at a TV station, and people who watch, you know, it was an attraction, if you will. It's not going to be something that you see every month. It was just an opportunity to see something a little different.
So it happens every 6 years, right?
Yeah, every 6 years, the way I'm going now, which next time I'll be 51. I don't know that I'd be ready for that.
You got 6 years to get ready.
But I got to thank you, because during the course of the match, where Roger was literally kicking my ass and kicking my ribs and kicking my shoulder and stomping on me.
It was brutal to watch, man.
It felt brutal, and I can't wait to go back and look at it, because I am sore as we record this. You, though, I didn't see it because I was tucked under his armpit, and he was about to do the corkscrew, his finisher on me. You scaled the cage and apparently did it like a panther, like at Pinckneyville High School. So what the hell was going through your mind?
Dude, okay, I don't like to use this term a lot, but you are my best friend.
Thank you, and you are my best friend. We're not going to kiss right now.
No, we're not. When I kept seeing him beat the crap out of you, and the refs, I was like one of those, like the Rocky, throwing the towel,
yeah,
throwing
right.
the towel. I was like, man, I just reacted, man. That's all I did. I was like, enough's enough, man. And it was funny because, I guess it's not funny, I was running up to the stage. I happened to look, glance over. I grabbed the first thing I could see, which is totally juiceless. I grabbed this broom. I scale up the wall because obviously the cage is locked.
Right.
I jump down. I think I jumped half of it down. I take the broom. I whack it against his back. And I guess for some reason thought maybe that would, I would do something. All I did was like piss the bear off.
Right.
He turns around, and I'm telling you, man, I saw this look in his eyes, and I got scared. He grabbed me by the throat and slammed me, and I have never felt anything like that in my entire life. I was like, what the hell just happened?
Choke slam, baby.
Choke slam. And, you know, I think when I came to, I actually saw you climb out of the. I was reaching. I was like, "Please don't leave!" But you were. I think you were just trying to get some position, and you came back. You got me, and you know. And I don't want to. I just reacted, man. That's all I did. I saw my friend. I wasn't happy with it, and I just jumped in. And I don't know how much I helped, but I just couldn't take seeing you get beat down.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So we did. We did that. You know, you came in there, saved the day, and then I took the opportunity to use that broomstick a little bit too. And then, I don't know, I climbed up, and I had an opportunity to climb out of the cage.
Did you see me?
I turned back around, I saw you, but I also saw an opportunity to do a high cross body block. I did that, a pin attempt. I got a two count on him. He kicked out.
That's impressive.
And that's when I saw you, and I'm like, okay, I got to get him out of here. So I grabbed you, and in the meantime, Roger grabs me, tosses me face first back into the cage, and then that's when you got up and jumped on his back. Like, what were you hoping to accomplish with that?
I wanted to try to choke the living life out of him, but I realized really quick that he's pretty badass.
He had that ring presence for sure.
All I know is that that was the stupidest thing I ever did, because all he did was ram me into the ring, into the corner, And then he put me up on the ropes, grabbed me, and then he slammed me.
Power slam, folks. If you weren't there, it was a power slam. Tom Harness was power slammed by a near 300-pound Roger Maddox.
A Viking god. I'm just going to throw that out there. Yeah. And honestly, I kind of was out of it after that. I mean, we got up. There was a couple things, but I honestly don't remember some of it because that it kind of knocked me out a little bit.
Well, I channeled my inner Heath Hatton, who, you know, I have seriously, legitimately have a tremendous amount of respect for.
Great guy.
Heath actually worked with me a little bit on delivering a spear, which is his finishing move. And I hit Roger with one, thinking maybe that would put him down, which it did not. He kicked out again. Oh, I also did a figure four leg lock, which I never in a million years
I would
do.
You almost tap. Okay, for a second, I was like, shit, Kevin's going to win this, man. He's going to tap out. He's going to tap out. I thought you really legitimately had him, and no.
No, not so much. He raked my eyes and got out of that. But yeah, I really... I don't know, man. It was weird. And so, obviously, that attempt failed, too. The pin attempt off the spear. He had also done an electric chair earlier, which, man.
I was scared for
that. Yes, I was scared for that, too. I was trying to get out of the cage. He came up under me and set me up in the position for the electric chair. But, you know, now we're winding down and getting toward the end, and lucky for us... you know, Roger had stuck my head outside the cage door and was going to slam it shut when Cash Borden's music hit. Cash Borden and Roger have had some issues as well, and that's how I kind of got involved in all this, too. Cash, though, brought a trusty little sidekick in his handheld taser and zapped the shit out of Roger, basically, and we threw him down, and we got out of that cage.
We did, and I'm going to tell you, I saw that. But here's the deal. People, let me tell you something. Mathis is the real deal.
Yes.
Holy, all the stuff that went at him, I don't know if one person could ever stop. Do you think one person could stop him?
He is a legitimate badass, top to bottom. And I can tell you from experience, from being in there with him, you felt it as well. But, you know, those kicks... were kicks. He was not messing around. We were not, you know, we were not having a day at the beach, so to speak. He is the real deal. He has a history of MMA, mixed martial arts. You know, he's a military veteran. I respect that. As I said earlier this week in a video, I do not respect his behavior and his attitude. And you know what? I don't know what is going to happen next. I don't know what to expect out of this. I know... You know
what I think?
What's that?
I think you've earned his respect. I mean, you stood for... You went toe-to-toe with him. But again, it's going to be impossible for one person. I don't know who can beat him. I'm going to be perfectly honest. And this is nothing against your buddy. And I...
Yeah, he's...
He's... I don't know, man.
He's a tough guy. He is.
It literally took a broomstick, a spear. It took some slams. It took me. It took you. It took Cash and a taser.
And a taser.
So I mean,
put the beast down.
Yeah, the beast. So I think there's a little bit of respect. I hope he leaves you alone. But you know what? If not. He comes back, I'm there for you, brother.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. I appreciate, again, everyone who made the trip, who have supported Stride from day one, the newcomers. If you're a new listener, if you're a newcomer to Stride, come back again. Actually, June 2nd, this Saturday afternoon, actually, we are in Christopher. Check out the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook page for all those details. But really, truly, honestly, I am humbled by the support, the friendship. And I feel like you and I have bonded in a way that we probably would have never bonded before. Do you ever think that you would be involved in a pro wrestling match?
No, I will honestly say this is probably going to be my debut in retirement. hopefully you don't pick on anybody bigger than him or him again, for that matter.
Yeah, I think, yes, again, right cause, good cause. Yes. It was a good opportunity to get involved, and that's why I did it. So, Tom, anything else you want to say as we kind of wind things down?
No, it's such an honor to be able to do and share some of the things that you're passionate about, because you do the same thing with me, and it's really cool to have this opportunity, because I honestly, I didn't know that it was going to happen. I can't believe I actually was, I'll say, stupid enough to do it.
Well, I appreciate everything that you have done and the advice that you've given here, and I hope that some of the Stride guys and other indie guys, or if you're another podcaster, I know our friends over at the Skullbuster WrestleCast listen to this, the folks over at Podzilla 1985, as we mentioned earlier on. If you're listening to this, get out there, and those guys do, both podcasts, do an amazing job. Chad is developing with Positive Cynicism on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Greg, you know, we've had some conversations too, so I feel like everybody is kind of going all in. Yes, I said all in.
Hmm.
That's a name of a big indie wrestling event coming to Chicago later this year. But yeah, everybody is working on building that brand and developing it, and I appreciate the advice that you give, not only here, but to me as well. So thank you for saving my ass, coming in with that broomstick, and jumping on that angry bear's back.
Yeah, I'll never do that again. Don't piss the bear off anymore.
We will not piss the bear off anymore. We'll maybe get that hashtag trending. But friends, thanks for listening and supporting My 1-2-3 Cents, Stride Pro Wrestling, and the fundraiser there at Pinckneyville High School, and of course, the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.